WCBS New York, 880 on your dial.
WCBS time, 7:45.
Good morning, everyone. This is WCBS Radio News, Kenneth Banghart reporting. Mayor Wagner and his bride of just 16 hours go island hopping today from Manhattan Island to Marco Island, a tiny spot on the map 60 miles off the Florida coast. The 55-year-old mayor and his 36-year-old wife, the former Barbara Cavanaugh, leave this afternoon by plane from Kennedy Airport for a two-week honeymoon at the Gulf of Mexico Resort. They were married yesterday afternoon in a single-ring ceremony performed by Francis Cardinal Spellman before a group of only a few dozen friends and relatives. After the ceremony, just before going to their reception, the newlyweds stopped and talked with reporters, including our Stephen Flanders.
Bob has always had a reputation of being a little late for things, and I said this was one day he wouldn't be late. So he called me earlier just before he left so I could leave. I said he had to be there first. I wasn't going to be waiting for him.
Was it a double ring ceremony, Mr. Mayor?
No. I don't wear rings.
Did he have any of those beautiful gifts that Cardinal Spellman gave you, the cufflinks and the rosary? Would you describe them anyway?
No, very beautiful cufflinks. Gave Barbara a rosary and a prayer book and a medal for her bracelet.
Did he give you anything, sir?
Yes, he gave me a beautiful cufflinks with the Cardinal's emblem engraved on them.
Mr. and Mrs. Robert Wagner talking with WCBS Radio News. Bronx Democratic Chieftain Charles Buckley has come out for the ticket led by City Controller Abraham Beam in the upcoming party primary. The 75-year-old ex-congressman calling the slate very capable. How much weight the Buckley endorsement will carry is debatable since Buckley himself was defeated in a congressional re-election bid in last year's primary. Police are still hunting for one, possibly two boys who engaged in a deadly game last evening on a rooftop overlooking a Bronx playground. At least one boy, believed to be a teenager, was seen with a .22 rifle just after several shots had been sprayed around the neighborhood. Two of the nearly 100 children on the playground across the street from the Daniel Webster Housing Project were wounded. Angelina Argentine, 9, was struck in the chest, her 6-year-old brother Carlos in the head. Both are reported in fair condition this morning, and police say they may have been hit by the same bullet. There were also reports that other shots were fired at a group of construction workers in the area about the same time, but none of them was struck. A number of .22 caliber shells were found on the roof of a 5-story apartment house, and police have set up a special telephone number, Melrose 5-4920, to take any information on the shooting. That number again is Melrose 5-4920. A White House breakfast, Vietnam, on the menu. That story in a moment.
Let Hertz put you in the driver's seat.
When things close in on you, get away for a few hours. Get away to the country for dinner. Get away to your favorite fishing hole. Hertz weekday getaway rates are now on in New York. Hertz will get you away easy as pie with a country dinner getaway rate. And if you've ever wanted to hang out that gone fishing sign, Hertz getaway rates are on for you, too. Next time fishing is where you want to be, call Hertz for the fishing hole getaway rate. To reserve a Chevrolet or other fine car in New York or almost anywhere in the world, call MU8-7744. MU8-7744. And if you want a Hertz car for the weekend, be sure to reserve early.
Just let Hertz put you.
Time is coming up to 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. A brief weather look right here. Fair, then partly cloudy later today with a high in the 80s. Right now, it's 69 degrees. President Johnson is holding a breakfast meeting this morning with Democratic congressional leaders and will meet today or tomorrow with other lawmakers before making known his decisions on the U.S. commitment in Vietnam. The sessions follow nearly a week of high-level talks with key administration advisors and come amid a growing clamor from some quarters that the president is not being frank with the public. Those accusations are coming particularly from the Republicans, including some attending the National Governors Conference out in Minneapolis. The feeling is expressed by men such as Oregon's Governor Mark Hatfield.
I do not support the president's policy if it means that we are inevitably committed to war, to an escalation of war. And if this is the policy, then I think the president must go to the Congress of the United States and ask for a formal declaration of war. I would hate to see the United States get involved in an Asiatic war, which could in turn become a world war, merely on the basis of a resolution or on the basis of the president merely announcing to the people that we are now in such a war.
Oregon's Governor Mark Hatfield. In the war today, figures came out showing that 198 communist guerrillas were killed in air and ground action in South Vietnam during a 24-hour period ending at 6 o'clock this morning. And airstrikes continued against the north, one raid just 60 miles south of Hanoi. Britain's conservatives are voting today to pick a successor to Sir Alec Douglas Hume, who quit as his party's leader last Thursday. The man chosen conceivably could be Britain's next prime minister if the conservatives succeed in toppling the Labour government of Harold Wilson in the next general election. For the first time in 10 months, the 17-nation Geneva Disarmament Conference reconvenes today, although prospects for any quick settlements appear dim. Russia is again demanding that the U.S. abandon any plans for creation of a multilateral nuclear force before moving into discussions on the larger question of the spread of atomic weapons. We'll have a direct report from Geneva on the World News Roundup at 8 o'clock. Workers in Castro's Cuba apparently try to disconnect the party line whenever they can. Cuba's 500 best cane cutters were offered a choice of rewards for their labor, a trip to a communist country, or their pick of consumer goods, things like refrigerators and motorbikes. Of the 500, 420 took the consumer goods. The former town supervisor of Hempstead, Long Island, 48-year-old Palmer Farrington, has pleaded innocent to charges that he took a $10,000 bribe at a Nassau County land sale. Farrington was named in a 3-count bribery indictment yesterday. The former state assemblyman resigned his town supervisor's job just before the land scandal broke. Two teenagers have been booked on assault charges in Morristown, New Jersey, after a group of Negro boys attacked and beat up a white policeman. The group had been tossed out of a civil rights rally in Morristown for shouting in the middle of a speech, and later assembled outside and started yelling again. Patrolman Daniel Perkulis told him to be quiet, and with that they jumped him, took his nightstick and walkie-talkie radio, and kicked him to the ground. Perkulis drew his revolver and fired one shot, but his attackers fled. The two youths now in custody were picked up later. They'll be arraigned today. Author and political scientist Eugene Burdick collapsed and died yesterday in California after playing half an hour of tennis with a friend at a San Diego resort. He was 47 and died of an apparent heart attack. Burdick, a Rhodes Scholar who held a doctorate in political science, made his mark in the literary world by co-authoring two best-selling novels, The Ugly American and Fail Safe. A UCLA dropout from New York, 22-year-old Mario Savio, has been sentenced to 4 months in jail for his part in last December's student riots at Berkeley, California. Savio, before being sentenced, rejected a 3-month jail term plus 2 years probation, saying probation is unfairly restrictive. Savio was one of several hundred students arrested at the UCLA riots last year. Capitol Hill Democrats are predicting a comfortable victory margin when the House gets around to voting on the administration's bill to end so-called right-to-work laws. That vote expected late today or sometime tomorrow. The measure would repeal that part of the Taft-Hartley Act which allows states to ban union shops. That is, shops where employees must be or must become union members. 19 states now have right-to-work laws. To wind up the news on the lighter side, a switch. A sign posted over the office door of the Forest Farms camp at San Rafael, California reads, "Please keep door closed so bird won't eat our cat." The bird is a turkey vulture. Sports in 60 seconds.
Wetley.
Sir?
Why do you have all the people here at 7-Up stuffing names in the suggestion box?
Oh, they're for our new lemon-lime diet drink, sir.
Wetley.
Sir?
7-Up's new lemon-lime diet drink already has a name. Like. L-I-K-E. Like.
Well, those of us in the tasting department feel that's too conservative, sir.
Well, the rest of us think it tells precisely how people feel about our drink. They like it. That's why we named it Like. People like it.
Like it? They're wild about it. I mean, here is a diet drink, but with a clean, fresh taste.
Mm-hmm.
A diet drink, but with the thirst-quenching combination of lemon and lime.
Mm-hmm.
A diet drink, but with the quality you expect from 7-Up.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware of all that, Wetley.
Well, that's why we all put all those names in the suggestion box. Just trying to find something more appropriate.
You mean to show that people adore this drink?
Yes, sir.
That they're mad for it?
Yes, sir.
Wetley, are you suggesting that instead of the name Like, we call this drink Madness?
No, sir. Some called it Madness, but I called it Love.
In sports, both New York teams not scheduled yesterday, although the Yankees downed the Phillies 7-4 in an exhibition play game up at Cooperstown, the Hall of Fame game. Tonight, the Yankees entertain Detroit for two games, and WCBS Radio's broadcast coverage starts at 4:55. Yesterday's scores, the Dodgers 5, Cincinnati 4, Milwaukee 6, Houston nothing, St. Louis 7, San Francisco 4. In the American League, Minnesota 8, Baltimore 2, and the Angels 6, the Red Sox 2. Mets manager Casey Stengel, 3 days before his 75th birthday, undergoes surgery today at Roosevelt Hospital for a fractured hip. There's continuing speculation about when Stengel will be back in the Mets dugout, with some observers saying he may be out for the season or for good. Yesterday, Stengel named 42-year-old pitching coach Wes Westrum as temporary manager for the Mets. The New York Football Giants have put a 10-year claim on the services of head coach Ali Sherman, who yesterday signed a long-term contract at a reported $50,000 a year. Now, the official weather report brought to you by Con Edison, serving New York City and Westchester with power for progress. If last month's reports on air pollution in New York have stopped you from vaulting to the window every morning and inhaling deeply, take heart. The man who keeps tabs on such things says it's not so bad after all. He's Arthur Benline, the city's air pollution control commissioner. And in a report made public today, Benline says the city's smog problem has been exaggerated. He noted that data gathered in New York is taken in areas of greatest air pollution and that this leads to distorted figures on the smog concentration. However, he says he's not minimizing the situation and is urging better coordination throughout the metropolitan area in fighting the dirty air problem. Coordination on another level began in Minneapolis yesterday when New Jersey's Governor Hughes announced that the governors of New York, Pennsylvania, and Delaware have agreed to band together with him to fight common problems in the Mid-Atlantic region, including air pollution and the drought. One more note on the water situation. The city yesterday began adding chemicals to the Croton Reservoir in an effort to clear up the problem of that brown-colored water which has been flowing out of some New Yorkers' taps. The treatment is expected to unstain the water within a few days, although the muddy-looking water, we're told, is safe to drink anyway. Detailed look at the metropolitan area forecast in a moment. More and more homes in the New York area have one thing in common: electric heating. That's because more homeowners are finding that electric heat is the modern way to heat a home or apartment. It's clean, convenient, dependable, and adaptable to any system. For instance, with popular electric baseboard heating, there's a thermostat in every room for individual room temperature control. In some homes, you'll find electric ceiling cables right in the plaster of the ceiling. They radiate heat, much like the sun, and it's a truly invisible heating system. Or another home will have an electric heat pump that brings heat in during the winter and air conditions during the summer. But get all the facts about electric heating, including Con Edison's special rate for homes with electric home and water heating. Just write for Con Edison's free booklet, Move Up to Electric Heat. Just drop a line to Electric Heat, WCBS New York, 10022, New York. And this reminder from Con Edison, as we've been bringing you, the water shortage is still with us. It's up to all of us to help conserve our precious water supply. Don't waste it. Now, the official forecast for New York City and vicinity: fair, then partly cloudy later today. Highs generally in the 80s, partly cloudy tonight and tomorrow, with a low in the 60s tonight, a high tomorrow in the low 80s. Looking ahead to Thursday, variable cloudiness and cooler. Winds light and variable right through tomorrow. Offshore, from Cape May to Block Island, variable winds through tomorrow at 5 knots overnight, 10 knots or better during the afternoon hours. Visibility generally 5 miles or better both days. Right now at the Weather Bureau, Midtown Manhattan, it has turned cloudy now. The temperature's gone up to 71. That's a 2-degree jump in the last hour. Humidity 51%, the barometer 29.98 inches steady, the winds north at 4 miles an hour, and the THI 67. The current temperature now, 71 degrees. Remember, every day the official weather report is brought to you by Con Edison, serving New York City and Westchester with power for progress. Checking back on the top stories of the hour, Mayor Wagner and new bride leave this afternoon for 2-week honeymoon. Bronx Democratic chieftain Charles Buckley throws weight behind primary slate of Abraham Beam, sniper who wounded 2 Bronx children hunted by police. This has been WCBS Radio News, Kenneth Banghart reporting. The World News Roundup will be heard in just a moment as WCBS continues to bring you the most comprehensive 30 minutes of radio news in New York.
This is WCBS and WCBS-FM, New York.
This is the year to take your family out west on that big vacation you've always wanted to give them. You don't need a lot of time because you fly out and back on TWA jets. You don't need a lot of money because TWA has new family-style vacation fares. Now 3 people can fly TWA for the cost of 2. And on TWA's fly and drive plan, you can have the convenience of a family car while you're there. You have insurance and unlimited mileage for the weekly rental rate of just $99. Make this your year for a vacation in the West. Fly TWA family style.
For
For more information about TWA's Lowell Family Style Fairs and free colorful vacation literature on the West, call TWA or see your travel agent. WCBS time, 8 o'clock. The CBS World News Roundup, presented by Kent, the cigarette that gives you good taste from the Kent filter and good vintage tobaccos. Light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. And now, the news.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend in New York with the CBS World News Roundup. Back to the conference table in Geneva today went three of the world's five nuclear powers, the United States, Great Britain, and Soviet Russia. France is boycotting the talks, and Red China has never been invited. But the others are there, along with the world's other leading military powers, as a new effort commences to get started on the rocky, winding road to disarmament. Daniel Shaw reports from Geneva.
President Johnson has sent a message to be read by American delegate William Foster as the 17-nation disarmament conference reopens this afternoon here in Geneva's Palace of Nations. The president is understood to stress the urgency of early agreement to check the spread of nuclear weapons, ask for the expanding of the atomic test ban to include underground testing, and a freeze on the production of missiles. But as the marathon conference resumes after a 10-month break, the prospects are not considered bright for early agreement. Russia is expected to continue stonewalling against the pact to check the spread of nuclear weapons unless the West abandons plans for an allied nuclear force. And the West itself, as revealed in the NATO Council in Paris yesterday, is not fully united on the wording of a proposed agreement. The British draft faces revision in the light of strong German and some American misgivings. Perhaps in view of Vietnam, it's a miracle that Russia has returned to the conference table at all, but few other miracles are expected. This is Daniel Shaw, CBS News, Geneva.
As the talks resume in Geneva, other talks near an end in Washington. These are the ultra-secret, prolonged, high-level discussions on Vietnam. We'll hear about them from Alexander Kendrick in the Capitol.
The final stage in the protocol of decision-making is at hand, White House consultation with congressional leaders, and then President Johnson is expected to make a report to the nation, perhaps tomorrow evening, on American intentions in Vietnam. A large increase in military manpower commitments in Southeast Asia is slated to be the number one decision. The White House review of the Vietnam situation is not quite over after 6 days. Top military men will be there again today. But the congressional consultation is now most significant because a call-up of reservists to active duty, one of the moves being considered, is seen here as best being ratified by a congressional joint resolution rather than by an executive declaration of emergency. Meanwhile, pending any presidential report, some light may be thrown on Vietnam conditions today when the Senate Foreign Relations Committee hears Henry Cabot Lodge, the new ambassador to Saigon, who visited there last week. His confirmation is regarded as a formality. Alexander Kendrick, CBS News, Washington.
There seems to be a lull in the Vietnam ground war. Saigon reports only scattered light action. The head of South Vietnam's ruling military regime today fired the governor of the Vietnamese National Bank. This is the man familiarly known as Jack Owen, a man who has twice acted as prime minister between regimes. No reason was given for Jack Owen's dismissal. Today in London, conservative members of the House of Commons are voting on a successor to Sir Alec Douglas Hume as party leader and as the man who will become Great Britain's prime minister if the Tories defeat the governing Labourites in the next election. Three men are contesting for the post: Reginald Maudling, former Chancellor of the Exchequer, Edward Heath, the Conservative Party's chief spokesman on economic matters, and Enoch Powell, a former government minister and outspoken right-winger. Maudling has the edge. The voting is secret. To win on the first ballot, a candidate needs a majority of the vote cast, plus a 15% lead over his nearest rival. Failing that, a second ballot will be taken on Thursday, with new candidates likely to enter the race.
Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Your cigarette will start to taste dull and flat. That's the time to brighten up your taste with a good taste of Kent. Yes, Kent will brighten up your taste, because Kent is
good. So good. So good tasting. Good taste going when you light up a Kent. Light up a Kent.
You've got a good thing going.
Light up a Kent.
For real good taste.
Light up a Kent.
You've got a good thing going.
Good tobaccos. The Kent filter for good taste going when you light up a Kent. Good. So good. tasting. Good taste going when you light up a Kent.
Brighten up your taste. Light up a Kent and you've got a good thing going.
The nation's governors at their annual conference in Minneapolis today get down to brass tacks on some of the multitudinous domestic problems that confront the 50 states in an age of increasing mechanization and urbanization. But the governor's chief attention right now is still centered on an entirely different problem, Vietnam. Martin Nagronsky reports from Minneapolis.
Vice President Hubert Humphrey is scheduled to keynote the governor's conference here tonight with a report on the American position in the Vietnamese war. He's expected to echo the current administration line that things will get worse in the war before they get better. It will be something of a paradox for the euphoric Mr. Humphrey to play Cassandra. But as one Republican gubernatorial wit put it to me, the worse the president says things are in this war, the more everyone rushes to support his unsuccessful policies. This is a paradox completely bipartisan in nature that has long been visible in the national opinion polls and in the Congress. And here in Minneapolis, it's become clear it holds good, too, for the nation's state houses. Despite this strong backing, the Democratic governors here are still urging President Johnson to use the conference as a platform for a major Vietnamese policy statement. The betting was even last night that Mr. Johnson may yet elect to replace Mr. Humphrey tonight and become his own prophet here of gloom. Martin Nagronsky, CBS News in Minneapolis.
In the civil rights struggle, the rapidly shifting spotlight focuses today on America's Georgia. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee say they're going to explode what they call the false image of racial harmony in Georgia, and they have chosen America's as one of the places to do it. These groups have given town officials until 7 p.m. to release four Negro women from jail and put a biracial committee to work on civil rights problems. Unless these demands are met, the two groups say they'll fill the jails of America's with demonstrators. In recent weeks, we haven't heard too much from the Prime Minister of Cuba, but he took care of that last night in a stem-winding address in the city of Santa Clara. We'll hear about it from the only United States correspondent who was there, Bert Quint.
Fidel Castro vowed last night that Cuba will continue to encourage communist revolutions throughout Latin America. He took the occasion of the 12th anniversary of the beginning of the Cuban Revolution to tell a crowd of several hundred thousand what he thinks is right with communism. Cuba has a party controlled by the working class, he said. It doesn't need any others. So-called democracy, said Castro, did not provide schools and hospitals for you. Communism does. He said his country is ready now for any attack, but that it is arming and training peasants in the mountains so that the whole country will be able to defend itself from what he terms Yankee imperialists. The Cuban leader commented publicly that a correspondent from the Columbia Broadcasting System is here. I did not want any American journalists to come to Cuba, he said, because of what the United States is doing in Vietnam and the Dominican Republic, but somehow this man got in. 100,000 boos were then directed my way. But Dr. Castro added, now that he's here, he can stay. And I dare any leader of his country to get as many people out at one time to support him as I did today. Bert Quint, CBS News in Santa Clara, Cuba.
Final congressional approval is expected today on President Johnson's omnibus housing bill. A conference committee reached agreement last week on details of the $7 billion legislation, and it was passed yesterday by the Senate. Today we'll get the approval of the House of Representatives before the House begins a second day of debate on the bill to nullify state right-to-work laws. That measure would repeal Section 14B of the Taft-Hartley Law, under which individual states have been allowed to ban union shop agreements. Administration forces won a crucial preliminary fight yesterday, winning a key test vote by an unexpectedly large margin, 248-171. This vote marked the first use of the so-called 21-day rule, which the House adopted last January to prevent the Rules Committee from bottling up legislation. Under the rule, a bill can be brought to the floor after 21 days by majority vote of the House. And now that the bill to repeal 14B is on the floor, its backers are confident of a passage by tomorrow.
Brighten up your taste, brighten up your taste.
light up a Kent. You've got a good thing going. Light up a Kent for real good taste. Light up a Kent. You've got a good thing going.
Good tobaccos. The Kent filter.
For good taste going when you light up a Kent.
Get away from dull, flat-tasting cigarettes. Brighten up your taste with the good taste of Kent's vintage tobaccos. Flavor blended to taste milder, brighter, more refreshing.
Good tobaccos. The Kent filter for good taste going when you light up a Kent. Brighten up your taste. Brighten up your taste.
Brighten up your taste. Light up a Kent. And you've got a good thing going.
Today in Greece, it looks like checkmate for the General Confederation of Labor and its general strike. From Athens, here's the report of Winston Burdett.
The 24-hour general strike proclaimed in the Athens area today as a straight political protest by the Greek Confederation of Labor is a failure. Drastic measures by the Greek government have broken the back of the demonstration. The streets of Athens this morning are teeming with life and traffic, with crowded buses, with people going to work. Electric power and telecommunications are working normally. An estimated 70% of the city's buses are running. Military trucks with army drivers are replacing the rest. Even the shops are open for business. And in Piraeus, the port of Athens, the biggest and busiest port in the eastern Mediterranean, it's a normal day, with longshoremen and stevedores on the job. Last night, the radio announced the government's decision. The strike was declared an illegal revolutionary act. All workers in key utilities were conscripted and ordered to report for work this morning or face legal charges. Business establishments were told they would be protected by government forces if they defied the strike order. The government warned it would tolerate no disorders, and throughout the city, police and troops are now on the alert for trouble. There have been some strikers' demonstrations, but so far, no disorders. Winston Burdett, CBS News, Athens.
Heading today for a honeymoon in Florida, the mayor of New York and Mrs. Robert F. Wagner. They were married yesterday by Cardinal Spellman. The mayor's first wife died in March 1964. This is the first marriage for the new Mrs. Wagner, the former Barbara Joan Cavanaugh. Her husband, now rounding out his 12th year as mayor of the country's largest city, is not running for re-election. But, as neither Wagner nor anyone else has forgotten, there's a race for governor next year in New York State. This is Dallas Thompson, CBS News. In a moment, the weather forecast for the New York metropolitan area.
8:12. Why do you suppose most New Yorkers prefer Kent? Well, the chief reason is Kent's good taste. You see, Kent starts with vintage tobaccos, then flavor blends them to taste mild and mellow, just the way you like them. And then there's the Kent filter for extra good taste. For these two reasons, it's easy to see that when you light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Now, if this is the kind of smoking pleasure you've been looking for, isn't it time to brighten up your taste and come over to Kent? Once you do, you'll agree that when you light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Here's the weather forecast for New York City and vicinity. The 8 o'clock temperature, 71 degrees, humidity 51%, barometer 29.98 inches and steady, wind north at 4 miles per hour, the temperature humidity index, 67. And the weather in Central Park at the moment is cloudy. The forecast is for fair to partly cloudy weather today. Highest temperatures in the 80s. Partly cloudy tonight and tomorrow. Lowest tonight in the low 60s. Highest tomorrow in the low 80s. Precipitation probability, 10% through tomorrow. Winds light and variable through tomorrow. The time is 8:14. Listen again tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to the CBS World News Roundup with Dallas Townsend. Today's program has been presented by Kent, the cigarette that gives you good taste from the Kent filter and good vintage tobaccos. Light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. The World News Roundup was taped in part and produced under the supervision and control of CBS News. Art Hanna speaking. Coming up, more of the Jack Sterling Show. This is WCBS and WCBS-FM, New York.